This is John Walden. Let's think a little together about the 23rd Psalm just now, shall we? You wonder what there is to say about this psalm when so much has been said already. It's a favorite. Most people know it by heart. One of the most comforting parts of the Word of God. What some people will forget, however, is that it is only for believers. Only a person who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd," has any right to say, "I shall not want." Psalm 23 is part of what we call a trilogy, three verses of one hymn, really. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 go together. In Psalm 22, you have Christ as the Good Shepherd. He says in John 10 and 11, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And so you see the Lord Jesus suffering in Psalm 22. Suffering for our sins. It begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And this is what he cried out on the cross. And then he tells us why he was forsaken. It's because he was taking our place. It's because our sins were laid upon him. So the Good Shepherd had to give his life for the sheep if he was to save us. There was no other way of taking away sin. Without shedding of blood is no remission. And the Lord Jesus must be lifted up if we were to have eternal life. Now in Psalm 23, you have the Great Shepherd. In Hebrews 13:20, he says he brought again from the dead the Great Shepherd of the sheep. And so the Great Shepherd of the sheep, risen from the dead and at the right hand of God, is interceding for us. He's taking care of us right now. It's wonderful to have a living Savior. In Hebrews 7:25, he says, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now in Psalm 24, the Lord Jesus is the chief shepherd, as he says in 1 Peter 5 and 4, "When the chief shepherd shall appear." The Lord Jesus coming back again in glory. And he's called in Psalm 24 the King of Glory. Now, there are several lovely things said about these Psalms. You have the Savior in Psalm 22, the Shepherd in Psalm 23, and the Sovereign in Psalm 24. You have the sword smiting the Shepherd in 22. You have the staff of the Shepherd in 23, and you have the scepter of the reigning King, the coming Chief Shepherd, in Psalm 24. The good, great, and chief shepherd can be your own shepherd only when you receive him. Now, why do you need a shepherd? Well, Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Because we were straying sheep. You know, the characteristic of sheep is that they can't find their way back. I knew a man who raised sheep. And he called them woolly idiots. And they don't seem to have very good sense. And neither do we sometimes, do we? 1 Peter 2:25 tells us that we were as sheep going astray, all of us. But we are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls, or overseer of our souls. Now believers can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." When did he become yours? When did you receive him? If you haven't received him, would you like him to be your shepherd? Would you be willing to trust your soul into his care? He'll take care of you. He'll bring you safe home to glory. Now the word "want" in verse 23, "I shall not want," means I shall not need anything. It doesn't mean that you never will want anything that you don't get. We often want too much in that sense. But we'll have everything that we need. Now when you think of things, don't just think of earthly things. Think of every mercy, every kindness, every goodness, every prospect, all of these things we have. Then he begins to talk about him as he and his and him. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." There are 10 pronouns in this little psalm, all of them referring to the Lord Jesus. And the word "Lord" is mentioned at the beginning and at the end. The second word is "Lord." The third word from the end is "Lord." So we have the Lord on both sides of us, taking care of us in this lovely psalm. In the second verse, when he tells us that he makes me to lie down in green pastures, he is saying, I'm so well satisfied, even though there's plenty of green pastures around the sheep, I can lie down and rest quietly. And then he leads me beside the still waters. This is the quiet time that we should have alone with the Lord each day. Most of us are too busy. We're just dashing here and there and trying to have a good time and doing all sorts of things. And what we really need is to get alone with the Lord, often, with his word in our hands and a prayer on our lips, and we can enjoy the fellowship of the Lord. And then he restoreth my soul in verse 3. Now all of the verbs in the 23rd Psalm are what we call the long tense. That means that they are continuous. We would say in English, he restores and keeps on restoring my soul. And we need this. We don't need to be restored into his family. We don't need to be saved over again, but we need to be restored. We need to be made happy again. We need to have sin removed out of our lives. We need to come often to the Lord to get back in fellowship with him. Our relationship is never broken, but our fellowship can be broken so easily. Now let him choose your paths by means of his word. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you're willing for the Lord to choose your path, if you're willing for him to show you, then he will do so, and he will do it for his name's sake. Now what is his name? His name is my shepherd here in this psalm. And so his name's sake means that because he is a shepherd, He will do what a shepherd ought to do if you'll just give him a chance. He will choose your path. Young people, you can trust the Lord about who you should marry, what job you should have, what education you should get, where you should live. You can let him choose your paths and be perfectly sure it'll be all right. Now in the fourth verse, he talks about something else, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now this could be the whole world in general, for this whole world is a valley of the shadow of death, and of course it could be death in particular. But whatever it is, a Christian doesn't need to have any fear. I will fear no evil. Why? Because I don't believe there is any such thing as death? Because I don't believe there is any such thing as eternity ahead? Well, of course not. But I will not fear because thou art with me. Now notice that the pronoun changes from he to thou. He is talking directly to the Lord now. When you get in troubles, you don't talk about him, you talk to him. And so he says, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The protection and the discipline and the help and the support and everything that we need, we get through our shepherd. He has different ways of helping us, but all of them are for our help. And then he says in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now God does feed us the food that we eat day by day we have because God is merciful. God could send a famine in this country pretty easily. A lot of things could happen. It might be very difficult for you to get enough to eat, but God has looked after you. But it means a great deal more than that. It's much more important that you be fed spiritually than that you be fed physically. One man said, I have esteemed thy word more than my necessary food. Is the Bible that important to you? Do you eat at the table that God has prepared for you? And he's prepared this in the midst of your enemies. Now, is one thing sure, if you don't eat, you're not going to be strong enough to face your enemies. If you will get into the presence of God day by day and get something from his word, you'll be a strong Christian. Now, of course, if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, you need to take the bread of heaven, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus, and be given life. And then he says, thou anointest my head with oil. This was mostly to heal the wounds of the sheep. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit, our comforter. And how wonderful it is to turn back to the Lord when we've gotten into difficulties and we feel wounded and hurt. How wonderful it is to come back into his presence and have him comfort us. And then he says, my cup runneth over. Now the table is for everybody, but my cup is for me. And there are many things that God does for a lot of people, but what I'm interested in is what is he doing for me personally. This isn't selfish. Each of us should have his own cup. That is, each of us should be getting something from the Lord for himself. In the sixth verse, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." One man called goodness and mercy the Lord's sheepdogs. You know, when they herd sheep, they often have some dogs to help them. Well, God's goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. God is very good to us. This is the positive side of it. God is very merciful. This is the negative side of it. God does not charge our sins to us. God does not punish us for our sins. God does give us every mercy and kindness that we need. Now the best is still ahead, because he said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God has a house. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So the best is still ahead. Are you going to live in his house forever? Yes, that's what it says, forever. There's not going to be any end to that wonderful future that the Lord has planned for those who will allow him to be their shepherd. Now, if you will let him in now, he lets you in then. That's fair enough, isn't it? If you keep the Lord Jesus out now, why do you expect him to let you in to his house in the coming day? Why don't you let him in? He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him." If you're one of his sheep, you have nothing to fear. Just trust him. Just leave each day in his hands and be an obedient sheep. Father, we thank thee for our Savior. Lord Jesus, we thank thee for becoming our shepherd. Now we pray that thou wilt bless thy word to us. We ask again for the salvation of the lost and for comfort and help for thy dear children. In our Savior's precious name, amen.